From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. As the state of New Jersey works to reform its child protection system, a new problem has come to light. A recent investigation found that many teenagers growing up in New Jersey's foster care system are stuck in squalid, overcrowded jails. Many of these kids are pulled from abusive homes, only to be shifted around and never adopted. And if they have a run-in with the law, even a minor one, they can find themselves in juvenile detention indefinitely. Nancy Solomon reports.
Consider for a moment a child nobody wants. Matthew Bird looks a bit younger than his 15 years. He's a skinny, baby-faced kid with smooth chocolate-brown skin and chin-length braids. Matthew bounced between various family members after he was removed from his mother's home at age 5.
She have a habit, drugs. One minute she's clean, the next minute she just does the same thing over again. So basically you could really say I don't really have a mother that's there for me. Because if she's there, she'll be doing all in her power to get me back.
2 years ago, the state removed Matthew Bird from his grandmother's house because he was abused and neglected. He was placed in a group home that turned out to be even more harsh. So Matthew ran away, lived briefly on the streets, and eventually was arrested in Elizabeth, New Jersey. He had tried to rob a boy of a gold chain. That landed him in the Union County Juvenile Jail for 7 weeks.
It's really nasty. It's like any other jail. It's nasty. You got people putting doodle on top of the windows where you see out the peepholes. You got rats in there. I had a cell, shared a cell with like 3 people. One person slept on the floor. Me and the other person slept on a bed.
Matthew Bird's story is fairly typical for kids who have the misfortune to be wards of the state. When most kids get into trouble, their parents are called down to the police station and the kids are sent home. Not so with foster kids, who often end up in jail for such petty crimes.
And frankly, the reason that that's the case is because juvenile detention centers are the only places that don't get to say no.
The New Jersey child advocate, Kevin Ryan, recently completed an investigation of the state's 17 juvenile jails. He inspected jails so crowded that there were sometimes as many as 4 kids in one 8-by-11-foot cell. About 11,000 kids are sent to jail in New Jersey each year. Ryan found that 1 out of every 4 is a foster kid who must stay in jail much longer than kids accused of more serious crimes, just waiting for places to live.
The child welfare system gets to say wait. The mental health system gets to say wait. Families get to say no. And as a result, these kids languish in detention for months and months on end.
This was supposed to have changed by now. It's been 2 years since the starved and beaten body of 7-year-old Fahim Williams was found in a Newark basement. It turned out an overworked state social worker had closed his case without ever seeing him. That sparked news coverage, lawsuits, and a court-ordered reform plan for the New Jersey Department of Human Services. The state hired Kathy Way, a veteran from the Clinton administration, to lead the effort.
A youth bouncing from kind of one family member in one placement to another, never really kind of having a permanent living arrangement, getting himself in trouble and winding up in detention. That is precisely the type of situation that we seek to change.
Way says the reforms will include more permanent homes for teenagers, a group she admits is underserved. Yet the state has fallen far short of this year's goal to increase the number of foster homes, and many teenagers without homes end up in jails. Union County, where Matthew Bird landed, is considered the worst. Overcrowded, filthy, the jail lost a boy to suicide in 2003. County officials would not allow me to visit. The administrators of the largest juvenile jail in the state, the Essex County Detention Center, turned me away last spring. But they've gone through huge changes in the past year and are now ready to show them off.
Hold it right there, guys. Hold it right there.
Ron Saladin became the director a year ago and is leading the overhaul.
Unfortunately, I found a center that basically was not safe. The child who committed suicide in Union hung himself from a sprinkler head. We were overcrowded. We had 2 and 3 kids in 2 cells.
All that has changed here.
All right, I'll get you on the day.
Saladin takes me to a day room where the kids live. The room has brightly colored chairs made out of plastic, a few tables, a TV, and doors to about a dozen cells.
You can see the sprinkler head system is completely covered.
We're going to remove this
and the desk and the chairs just for suicide prevention.
Describe it since this is radio.
Well, you can describe it. It's a bunk. It's a chair, it's a toilet, and it's a desk. All made of metal.
Saladin says foster kids who pull a school alarm or shoplift can find themselves in a cell with a teenager who committed a double murder. And it's not just that these kids lose their freedom. Kevin Ryan's investigation found 21% of the inmates have emotional problems. He says it's not surprising that a traumatized, abandoned kid with no support system would get sicker in such stressful conditions.
The tragedy is that for kids who have very serious mental health needs, we saw them slowly, painfully come apart. We saw kids who we met at the beginning of the investigation become completely shattered. Kids who had become completely unresponsive and were not wearing clothes or were throwing their feces at the wall.
It's hard to figure out who's responsible for this mess. The jails are at the nexus of multiple bureaucracies. The police and courts send the kids. The counties run the jails. State Human Services is responsible for the kids' mental health and finding them homes. And New Jersey's Juvenile Justice Commission manages the overall corrections system. Howard Beyer, director of the commission, acknowledges that change is needed and says all the relevant departments are finally beginning to speak to each other. He's working with the Annie E. Casey Foundation to reduce the number of kids who go to jail by creating alternatives, like ankle bracelet programs or halfway houses.
We believe that a boy or a girl who goes to detention for one night and really doesn't need to be there will have their life impacted negatively for the rest of their lives by going to detention.
But reducing the numbers at the jails is an equation that depends heavily on the foster care system. Until New Jersey takes care of the kids nobody wants, a large number of them will end up on the doorstep of the one place that never says no, jail. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Solomon.